Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's that time again for Successapies. We've got your recipe for success in business and balanced living. I'm your host, Lori Wilk, and it's great to have you with us here today. In this show, our episode, I have Mia Hewitt, and she's going to be sharing how she removed the barriers between thinking her life didn't matter to owning and operating multiple successful companies, running all five major marathons, most of all, taking complete ownership of her life. Joining us in this show, we'll be taking an in-depth look at how she gets to the source of what is keeping people from implementing what they know and why they don't create who they need to be, how they need to operate, and how they get to their intended results. In this program, we're going to learn about the barriers that are stopping people from having a greater success in their personal and professional lives. And as Mia says, no matter what we are up to in our lives, we're at a real disadvantage when we don't see what we don't see, that having a powerful coach access and assess our blind spots helps give us that leading edge to the game that we call life. And for those of you listening to the live broadcast, if you'd like to speak to me as well as to Mia, you're welcome to call in at 347-237-5638. I'm just so happy to have Mia here, and she's been a successful business owner, and she calls herself a performance catalyst and effectiveness coach, and she's been at that for the past 24 years. Her diagnostic ability and coaching acumen allows her to get rapidly right to the source of the individual and the organizational performance issues. When her schedule permits, Mia is very active in supplying even clean water filtration systems to developing countries in need. So help me welcome to my show, Mia Hewitt.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here, Lori. Thank you for having me.
What a background. I mean, you have participated and run world marathons. You mentor women of tomorrow and help at-risk girls in Broward and Dade County, and you're a member of Rotary International. Share with us a little bit about your background.
Sure, I would be happy to. Well, some of the most significant traumatic events that happened in my life really occurred when I was a teenager. My father basically got caught with the woman next door, and overnight I went from living in South America where I was catching tarantulas, playing jacks and marbles, having dead-end ceremonies with my friends, to moving back to Florida where the teenagers here were talking about sex and drugs and rock and roll, none, Lori, of which I knew anything about. I mean, my mother became a single mother of four, trying to support us on a beginner's teacher salary. And just let's just say that we were quite poor. And as a result of being poor, I had some significant events that happened in my life. So when people ask me who I am, I think for you to really get who I am, you got to know why I do what I do. And how that all ties is when I was young, a dog that I loved very much died because our house had such an infestation of fleas that they literally sucked the blood out of him. And at night, the roaches came out. And so I would teach myself how to sleep, you know, with the sheet completely tucked tight under my body so that they wouldn't run directly on my skin or worse, in my mouth. But the bottom line, Lori, really, is that I just didn't feel like my life mattered. And I made a promise to myself that if I survived this childhood, that I was going to make a difference in the world. Because I have a belief that all lives matter. Yeah.
That's amazing.
True.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You got to take a deep breath when you listen to that. And so from those amazing circumstances, what did you learn?
Oh, wow. You know, they were such defining moments for me. You know, I really thought from those circumstances, I thought I had to be the best, right? I had to prove something. So in order to go forward in life, you know, if someone knew something more than me, then I needed to work harder. I needed to be more determined. I needed to seek more knowledge. I was constantly seeking more and more and more. And until I really got that knowledge doesn't equal power. Applied knowledge equals power. And that was a real barrier for me for many years.
Explain to us a little bit more what you mean about the possible barriers. Give us some examples, if you would.
Sure. So let's say George. George is a guy who sits around and he has read endlessly about health. He knows everything there is to know about eating healthy, exercising healthy. He knows more about health and fitness than anyone. And yet George is doing all this while he's sitting on the couch eating Twinkies all day. And he's 200 pounds overweight. You can see where this is going. The knowledge that George has is only potential power. You see, George has incredible potential power. But it doesn't become power until he starts eating healthy and exercising healthy, until he commits and really alters his behavior. It's about really working with people and training them, getting them to distinguish. Like, let's think in terms of physical fitness. If you're going to, you know, lose weight, you want to lose weight, you're not going to do it all in one day. You're not going to do 7,000 push-ups, 24,000 sit-ups, and run 39 miles in a day to get in great shape. This is a process that takes a period of time. And so I'm literally helping them to retrain their unworkable habits into their ways of being and how they live and how they operate. Because we all know that every diet works. It's people that don't work. And yet we live in a world where everyone is looking for the right diet when it's really the applied knowledge that will work. And I know, Lori, that may not sound nice, but it is ruthless compassion. And that is a barrier for some people.
Wow. So there's decisions and choices and then the actions that people take to be able to make them happen. Can you talk a little bit more about these barriers for you?
Sure. I'll give you some personal ones. So, I really got that if I was going to commit to really being successful, really taking my game to the next level, I was going to need to create an impact. I would need to do what's required in order to produce my result. In other words, I would have to be in action. And what I really discovered was that the world doesn't care how much I know. It doesn't care what I think or what I intend or what I'm interested in or what I want or don't want. The world only moved for me, Lori, when I took massive action. So I had to really slow down and take a look, a long, hard look. What was the barrier that was in my way? What was keeping me out of action, big action? Why was I not getting my results? And what I really discovered is what kept me out of action was approval seeking. You see, in my direct experience, approval seeking is as addictive as drugs and alcohol. When I was a little girl, my father was, you know, I was really quite afraid of him. And my mother, I was competing with three other sisters for her attention. Well, not knowing it, I made a decision that if I was really nice, then it was a way to not get in trouble. My father wouldn't hit me, and my mother would pay attention to me. I really became known as a real pleaser. And I lived that way with that decision running my life for the majority of my years. And that was a big barrier for me. I just didn't see it. And no matter what we're up to in life, like you had said earlier, if we don't see what we don't see, we're at a real disadvantage.
So now then, what did you do?
Well, basically, after I discovered, having knowledge isn't enough. I'm going to have to apply it. And basically being nice is not really effective as having ruthless compassion. I'd started beginning to be aware of how that behavior showed up in all areas of my life. Because see, how we do anything is really how we do everything. And so it showed up in my personal life. It showed up in my professional life. You know, I basically really took a look at that. An example would be like persistently caving in to my husband at the time, you know, his wants, and not really standing for what really mattered to me. You know, from a place of really owning who I was. Or maybe it was going to a business meeting with a prospective client and noticing her or his lack of engagement and then trying to please them in order to gain their approval. It, really nice is not an effective strategy. And I began to see this pattern and I started to interrupt it. It was a really pivotal moment in my life. You know, once I really became aware of that I had the pattern, I realized that I had a choice. In life, we can always, you know, it's interesting that we always have a choice even when we don't have alternatives. It's always awareness and then choice. And then choice and consequences. So I really got that if I was going to continue to be nice, which stopped me from being effective in my life and producing the results that I wanted to produce, or I could risk for greatness, create powerful results, be effective, and really be of service to those around me and to myself by being ruthlessly compassionate. What I discovered about myself was, you know, I was no longer wanting approval. That wasn't the stand that I wished to have in my life. And so the type of clients I work with, they really are willing to confront their deathbeds. You know, I really get them to really look. I ask them, how do they really want to use the rest of their lives? What would they really give their life for? What really, really matters to them? Because a life without purpose is just empty and meaningless. And yet a life with purpose is a tremendous contribution to all humanity.
And there's so much that we have and can do if we make those choices and we take those actions. You're amazing, amazing. So what happened when you took responsibility for your life?
Oh, and I love that word, responsibility, right? I realized I was able to respond to my abilities. Responsibilities, what a concept. I really looked at it, and, you know, I took a hard look and asked myself, am I really willing to commit to achieving this? Because wanting something that we're really not willing to achieve, to really commit to it and achieve it, is pure madness. And so I just got real determined, like, what's the necessary required information do I need? What's the necessary required skill sets in order to be highly confident at this? What was the necessary required actions that I would need to take? So, you know, it's interesting because I really got that in my direct experience in life, so often, and myself included at that time, when people will say to me that what they really, really, really want is freedom. And oftentimes what they're really seeking is permission. You see, we want permission to be ourselves. We want permission to be loved. We want permission to be good enough. And the irony is that true freedom, it requires no permission. In life.
I'm applauding. Be
Yay!
Who you are and be it. You don't have to ask permission.
Right.
That's
because
like refreshing. It's so refreshing.
Isn't it so refreshing?
It is. So tell us a little bit more about what you do as a performance catalyst and as an executive coach.
Okay, what I do is I'm actually really unique. I get at sources. sources of how people need to be, and I work with highly successful people, one of their biggest problems that I see is that they know everything. They're very successful, and they're brilliant, really brilliant. And they have the best consultants in the world and the best training in the world. And many times, they still experience a lot of upset. And so what I do is I actually get to the source of what's in the way of that individual or organization that keeps them stuck from implementing what they know, why they don't create who they need to be, and how they need to operate in order to get that their intended result. So the work that I do really is not for the faint of heart. You really must be willing to alter your behaviors.
Very strong statements. And you are moving with this work into the global online television industry. And you are producing a program called The Conversation with Mia Hewitt. And as your tagline and what you imply, they speak, you listen, and together, and the ultimate result is that these people thrive. I'm really excited to hear that that show is going to be airing on BYL Network, which is Better Your Life, and that you will be airing on the Money Channel, which is sponsored by Forbes. That's so exciting. You're creating an original series. So tell us a little bit more about this, because this is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lori. I am really excited about this original series. You know, it will broadcast the experiences of how high-end coaching can transform people both personally and professionally. My objective for this show was really to provide people with the opportunity to experience how high-end coaching can powerfully affect and produce impressive results in a very short time frame. You see, on a global level, today's leaders require more than being well-educated, bold, and committed. Today's leaders, they need a strong foundation from which to live and operate. And I refer to this foundation as an inner stance. So what I do is I work with leaders to create and develop this critical aspect of themselves. It's what alters behavior, which in turn alters results. It's what gets the information and training out of their head and into the physical universe where it really belongs. So I'm going to be working with four different types of people with different backgrounds and helping them transform their lives.
The transformation process is so interesting because it sounds like that you have the abilities and the gifts to be able to determine what's in the way of these people fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Is that fairly accurate that you can
Absolutely.
Figure things out of what's in their way quickly? And how about the process of the turnaround? Is it faster than people think, or is it over a long period of time? How does that transformation take place?
Well, it depends on the size of the project and what the objective is and what they're wanting to accomplish. But for this show, we're looking to maybe take that over a course of 90 days. And really, my intention is to really show and capture a few things, like getting results that they had eluding them before until we work together. Or maybe it's significant jumps in their productivity or profitability. Or maybe it's a communication breakthrough in an area of major concern for them. The most important thing is that it's going to be of value to them. It's what that unique person is wanting to achieve and what really matters to them.
Do you find that difficult for people to really make that decision and choice to change their lives? Do you find that that's the biggest barrier for them, is actually really coming to the point where, okay, I'm ready to change?
Well, it definitely takes commitment, because without commitment, nothing's going to change, right? And
right.
So oftentimes we have to confront what we say we're committed to is really not what we're committed to. And what do I mean by that? I mean that oftentimes when people say, well, I really, really want this, let's say it's increased profits. You know, they say they want it and they say they're committed, but yet they're not having that. So what is their hidden commitment? Is it to looking good? Is it to fear of the competition? Like, until we discover what that is for them, they actually have a hidden commitment. Or let's say it's somebody who really wants an incredible relationship, really wants to have a mind-blowing relationship. And so they say they're committed to that, but yet what's hidden in that is they're not really wanting to deal with the impact or what they would need to do to actually have that. So they say they're wanting an incredible relationship, but what they're really committed to is comfort.
And I would bet you that majority of the people are much more committed to comfort than the pain of changing. That a lot of people, like you said, they'll talk about it, but they're not going to go and really do everything that's necessary. I would imagine when you first get with people and you start to have a discussion about their lives and about the things that are going wrong or that they're not happy with, that some people might be more defensive a little bit about their lives and about what they're doing or about where they want to go. Do you find that there's a little bit of a people putting, they have that wall up and they have to be able to let it down to work with you?
Well, you know, it's actually exactly what you're saying. It's whatever is unique to that individual. So it depends on, you know, the power of what I do is actually found in the conversation. So it's in my listening for how things are occurring for that person. So let's say if they were defensive, using your example, well, that would be a barrier for them, right? So that feeling of being defensive is going to prevent them from what they would have naturally if they were committed to it. So fear does become something that has to be addressed on an ongoing basis, meaning what really is fear? To really slow down and think about that. So fear exists as a survival mechanism. It's the amygdala, right? And so when we understand what its job is, which its job is to just survive. So if you have a guy who's like 40-something years old, lives in his parents' basement of the house he grew up in, and he's never, really done anything with his life, doesn't have a girlfriend, works at the local grocery store, and his rich, powerful uncle comes to him and says, that's an it. I'm getting you training, I'm getting you coaching, I'm taking you to seminars, you're going to change your life. Well, fear is going to rise up huge in that because he may have the best support, but if he doesn't understand what fear is, which is the survival of the good thing is of the body. So if his body was in fear, like if he was driving his car and he's on the interstate and all of a sudden it starts downpouring, really heavily, he's going to slow the car down. Fear is going to kick in. He's going to slow it down. Be safe. Or if he's driving a car and he makes the wrong turn and they're rioting in the streets and they're shooting at each other, his fear is going to kick up and he's going to turn the car around and get out of there. That's a really great thing that fear does. Now, the downside of fear is because it is a survival mechanism, it's the survival of the body or who the individual considers himself or herself to be, considers himself to be a poor, undynamic guy. And he all of a sudden has the ability and the capability and the resources to now become really an incredible, powerful, six-figure guy, that amygdala is going to kick in and it's going to be constantly pulling him back, not letting him be that. And so it has to be properly addressed for what it is. I think the best acronym that I absolutely love for fear is face everything and rise.
Now, you study in your work to be able to help people, a special field of understanding human beings. Can you tell us a little bit what that is and what you learned from that?
Sure. It's, you know, I love the study of ontology. It's what it is to be a human being. I mean, it's fascinating to me that we will spend 25 years learning to be a physicist, and yet we have no study for what it is to be human. It's really important to look at what is that to be human. I mean, yes, we have thoughts and feelings, but do you obey them? Is it how you operate from? I often will tell my clients, I'd like you to consider that the way that you're being is not who you are. It's just a way of being.
I am so excited that we have you here on our show on Success Bees. We get to talk about your unique recipe for success and that you're able to give us such amazing insights into people and how they're operating and help us to look a little bit about what they need to do to be able to go from where they are to, you know, where they want to be and what they want to accomplish and the barriers that are in their way. And I think the world really will benefit from your upcoming program, your conversations with Mia that you're going to be producing for BYL Network. So many people will get to know more about your work. Are you going to be sharing more things, you know, online in some of the social media platforms and articles and blogs? How are you participating, you know, out there so that more people can find you? Where do we look for you more?
Absolutely. Definitely the show. Follow me along. You know, really having a powerful coach access your blind spots. What I have found is by having so many viewers watch me as I'm accessing these unique individuals' blind spots, it's really going to give them the leading edge to win the game that we call life. So I'm really excited to share this. I'm really excited for people to follow me along. I'm definitely going to be doing some more radio interviews and, you know, hoping to take this a little bit more out into the, you know, on the road and meet some people in person. I think that'll be just great fun and a great strategy for really getting to know more about what people want to see more on the show. I'm really fascinated about what really works and what they're interested in, what would be of value. And I think they'll really get that from watching the show.
I think so, too. And, of course, with any of our listeners, you know, if you think that you would be just an amazing, excellent candidate for working with someone like Mia, I always would love to hear from you and you know, and have your input. And, you know, feel free to share with us here at Success Bees. We will be posting the episode with Mia on the social media. You'll find on Twitter, we are on at SuccessBees. And the good news is we'll also be writing, you know, an article that will be featuring Mia and what she's doing and her work on BYL Network with her show, Conversations with Mia. We're going to be featuring that in a national article coming up, so you'll be able to read more in-depth about what Mia is doing and more about the programming and BYL Network. The time I hate as the most of any of the shows is when they come to the end. And for those of you who are listening, we're so happy that you joined us here on Success Bees as we continue to share with our audience the things that people are doing in life to be successful and all of their recipes for success. And most of our guests like Mia, they're come on here and they're open and they share with you. And we try to help people leave in a better way than they even arrived. So today, you know, I learned that a lot of people have barriers that are stopping them from what they want in life. And I look forward to learning more from Mia until we get together again. Be successful and be safe. Goodbye for now, and thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.